The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out ahead of him in pairs to all the towns and places he himself was to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers to his harvest. Start off now, but remember, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Carry no purse, no haversack, no sandals. Salute no one on the road. Whatever house you go into, let your first words be, 'Peace to this house.' And if a man of peace lives there, your peace will go and rest on him. If not, it will come back to you. Stay in the same house, taking what food and drink they have to offer. For the laborer deserves his wages. Do not move from house to house. Whenever you go into a town where they make you welcome, eat what is set before you. Cure those in it who are sick and say, 'The kingdom of God is very near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not make you welcome, go out into its streets and say, 'We wipe off the very dust of your town that clings to our feet and leave it with you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is very near. I tell you that on that day it will not go as hard with Sodom as with that town.' The 72 came back rejoicing. 'Lord,' they said, 'even the devils submit to us when we use your name.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Yes, I have given you power to tread underfoot serpents and scorpions and the whole strength of the enemy. Nothing shall ever hurt you. Yet do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. Rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven.' The Gospel of the Lord. Just a quick plug for teas and coffees after Mass. There are teas and coffees after Mass, aren't there? Yeah, good. Okay, so remember the Lord says, eat what is set before you. So you should go for teas and coffees after Mass. However, on a more serious note, in the Gospel, the Lord sends his disciples out with nothing. We're told they're sent out with no purse, no haversack, no sandals. And the only thing they have to offer to the towns that they go into and the houses where they stay is this: whatever house you go into, let your first words be, 'Peace to this house.' The only thing the disciples are equipped with on their mission is the Lord's peace. And then in the first reading, if you remember, we hear the prophet Isaiah promising that God will comfort and bless Jerusalem. And listen to what that blessing means. "For thus says the Lord, now I send towards you peace, like a river and a stream in spate, this overflowing river of peace." And then how often, when you think about it, how often when our Lord appears after his resurrection to the apostles, his first words to them, he walks into the upper room, it's almost always, "Peace be with you." So what does this peace mean? Famously, the Second Vatican Council taught that peace is not just the absence of war. Peace is not the absence of something negative. It is in itself something positive. And at this point, if I had the time and the patience to have read up, I suppose I could have and probably should have given you a learned discourse on the philosophical requirements of peace. But then again, I'm not sure how helpful that would be. So instead, I wanted to put a question to you. Do you find yourself at peace? And if you do, what is it that gives you peace? And if you don't, what would peace look like or feel like for you? Certainly, I don't suppose you could be at peace without shelter and enough to eat, perhaps a way of providing for your family. Peace would, I imagine, require a respect for the dignity of every individual human being, even the most vulnerable, the unborn, the weak, and the marginalized. I suppose peace would also entail a respect for our environment. But is peace purely a political or economic condition? I mean, does peace just depend on certain factors outside of us being present and in their correct order? Or does perhaps our felt experience of peace or our felt absence of peace come from something within us? Perhaps an anxiety, or a sense of being unworthy or inferior. Perhaps old angers and hurts whose circumstances have passed, but which we can't ourselves let go of. Could it be that our lack of peace is because we are anxious about the gap between who we know we are in private and the face that we show to the world? And yet within all that anxiety, the great mystery, which loved the universe into existence and shows himself to us in Christ, when he encounters us, he characteristically says to us, "Peace be with you." And when he sends out his followers, he commands them that their first word should be, "Peace be to this house." Christ, God, that mystery of love that founds the universe, wishes to give us his peace, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. I find it very suggestive that when Mass is celebrated in its most solemn form, that is, when the bishop is celebrating Mass, it begins, first of all, with the sign of the cross. It's that one thing that St. Paul says he can boast in. And then, immediately afterwards, unlike the greeting of a simple priest, the bishop says, "Peace be with you." And then immediately after that, comes that beautiful prayer, the "I confess." Isn't it fascinating that those three things are placed side by side? The cross of Christ, his peace offered to us, and then that moment when in ritual words we let the mask we show to the world slip, and we admit that we're not perfect. Sometimes we give in to our weaknesses. Sometimes we are overwhelmed by our passions. Sometimes we choose the easy option, even when we know it is wrong. Isn't it fascinating that those three things happen alongside each other? I have my own idea why that is, And I also have my own idea about what it means for us to share that sign of peace immediately before we approach the altar and receive the Lord. And I'm pretty sure if I looked up in the Catechism or dug up the writings of some saint or other, I could find something that would back up my interpretation of what that means. But I'm not sure that telling you what I think all this means is terribly useful. Because if you are going to appropriate that for yourself, then I think it's something you have to work out for yourself, something that you have to spend time with yourself, and something that you have to make your own. The Lord wishes for us peace, but that peace is tied to his cross. It is tied to the admission of our own inadequacy. And it is also tied to his invitation. Take this, all of you, and eat it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you. So then, if in your life, flowing towards you, you want peace like a river and a stream in spate, then the best advice I can offer you is to pray about how those things are connected. The cross, the Lord's wish to give us his peace, the humble admission that we are sinners, and the Lord's invitation to share himself, to share his life, to receive communion.